Yeah, the whistle is gone.
Now the Leafs steal the puck. It'll go, Marner! Oh, and he sent it wide. Oh, my, what a chance. Leafs trying to get it in front of the net again. Marner shoots. He scores! Mitch Marner! 19 straight games and an emphatic one here.
How can you not love Joe Bowen?
Well, what's the answer, Tim?
It's impossible not to like Joe Bowen.
No, we were talking about it before the pod. Was the Mitch Marner point streak, because I was saying, remember when this mattered? Was that even this season?
There's no way it was this season. This season it's been all William Nylander, and since then it's been all Austin Matthews. Mitch Marner is a byproduct, an afterthought.
There's something about the fact that just like since the team stays the same, all the years just kind of blend together, right?
You're not wrong.
Like, all the years of pain.
Think about this. You've had William Nylander, Austin Matthews, Mitch Marner, John Tavares, the core four, in your lives longer than either of your spouses have even known who you were.
That's correct.
Yeah.
How about that? And you decided to marry them.
They decided to marry us.
And your relationship with this team is much more, shall we say,
it's very love-hate, and I tell you, it's a good thing they won the last few games. Otherwise, it would have been much more hate on this pod.
Yeah. It's time.
They righted the ship, at least a little bit, moving in the right direction. It's amazing what having like a capable NHL goaltender will do.
Well, okay, let's get into it. Welcome back to the LeafsCast. Stephen Douglas here, joined Tim Ryan Allison. First pod in a couple weeks. All-Star game break. / the bye week. I think there's some games going on through Tuesday, Wednesday, but the Leafs bye week lines up with the All-Star break. Austin Matthews, All-Star captain, game in Toronto. All eyes on Toronto and all eyes on the Maple Leafs. What's better than beating the Maple Leafs, eh? Nothing.
Nothing. The schedule makers definitely said, like, okay, what team's going to have a lot of All-Stars? We're going to give them the bye week and the All-Star break so no one skips out. And Edmonton also has a bye week this week, I think. 9 days off, but
I do like it, though, when they name the All-Stars, and like this like a couple months ago or whatever, but like, and you hear the guys like talking about how they're then canceling whatever plans they made for the All-Star break and stuff like that.
Like, yeah, cancel the family trip to Florida. You got to go to Toronto where it rains in the land of no sun.
Do we actually feel bad for them, though? Right? They're like, oh, yeah, I was really going to be hanging out in, like, Bora Bora or whatever. Like, no, go be an All-Star. Like, Willie's wanted this for a long time. He's going to be pumped. Now that I think about it, that's kind of lame to be, like, acting like you don't really want to go. Come on.
Are you guys excited at all about the All-Star? I mean, I don't think any of us have really been too into it in years past. But, you know, it's in Toronto this year. We got a bunch of our boys going. And are you going to watch it? Are you excited for it?
I'm excited for the draft. I don't think they've done this in the last few years, but all the captains get to
Phil
draft.
Phil Kessel was the last guy picked.
Yeah, I don't even know how long ago that was. So Big Cactus is going to get to be picking, and it was kind of funny hearing him talk after the game the other day about how, like, you know, he's taking bribes for who's going to be on his team and if, like, Willie and Mitch and Mo want to be on the team. Wait, did Mo make it? I can't remember. Well,
I don't remember either.
Tune in to find out.
I guess that's the answer. None of us are very invested in the All-Star game. We'll watch the highlights.
No, I like if there's nothing else going on, which I can't even remember which night it is, I'll tune into the skills competition for sure.
Nylander, Marner, Morgan Rielly, Austin Matthews.
All right. There we go. The core four made it.
All right. Yeah. Let's talk about some Leafs talk.
Really? Do we have to get into that this week?
We're getting into it. This is Leafs talk.
I got enough
going
on. Like, I'm dealing with a cold right now. I really don't feel.
Right.
I just wanted to get together and chat.
You can take off. We don't need you. Tim and I will handle this pod. You can go take a nap.
All right. I'll talk to you guys later.
All right. See ya. Tim, Maple Leafs. What do you think?
I think top story. I feel like when we on the every other week pod schedule, the goaltending stories vary drastically every time. Ilya Samsonov, once the pariah of the Leafs season, then the exile, now the prodigal son is returning.
The
How
exile.
Can you not root for the guy?
I mean, it seems to be quite the, I don't know, like, it's the word of he's back. Are you prepared to say he's back, or is this just, like, is it too soon, or, like, it seems that everyone has an opinion. What, where are you guys at with Ilya Samsonov?
It's been, what, four games? Three games?
Yeah, four games back from his AHL stint. Banishment, as you referred it to.
I think I'm a little optimistic. Like, maybe I'm more optimistic than not. Like, I think over the past, like, couple of years of Samsonov, at least, we've seen more good Samsonov than bad Samsonov. So if, like, the start of the season was a very large blip, maybe it was, I don't know, he hit the reset button, I think he'll be hot for a while. Whether he'll be hot the rest of the season, I mean, that's a lot. Half a season is a long time in goaltending years. So, I don't know if he'll be our playoff goaltender, but I think he's certainly in the 1A, 1B conversation. I don't think, like, I'd be surprised if he goes back down to the AHL at this point.
That'd be actually be interesting now that I think about it for when Jones comes back. Or not Jones, when Wall comes back. But yeah, I think it's been, whatever, 3-4 games back, and, like, he's looked good in all of them. The Leafs have not looked good in front of him for all of them, because I feel like he's been given the opportunity to, like, show that he's back. And by he's back, I mean, like, he's not giving up the ridiculous, like, Hutchinson-level, you know, goals that, like, we were seeing at first. And then he's having the opportunity to make some of these, like, ridiculous saves. I mean, he's already made essentially the save of the year twice, I think, for the Leafs since coming back. So they're giving him a couple of these opportunities in these cross-seam passes. Let's clean that up. He's back enough that it's not a problem. Like, I guess, what, so if he's back and then Wall comes back, then I guess what do we do? Like, then the real question is, like, how back is he? Do you waive somebody or do you keep him up? I don't know.
I think he's back enough, like, I know we had discussed maybe last podcast or maybe one before that, as far as, like, do you go out and get a goalie? Because we literally have a third stringer playing half of our games and he's not going to start for us in the playoffs. I think they're at the point where I don't, like, I was in the camp they weren't going to get a goalie anyways, but I don't know, Ryan, you were more advocating for that. Are you at the point where you're no longer shopping for goalie and you instead want defense, or...
I don't know if I was advocating that they should get a goalie. I was just trying to communicate to you guys that our goaltending sucked, and it was absolutely something that could have lost us in the playoffs. It was just such a hard thing to fix. Goalies are so hard to get, and
yeah,
all that, like, goalie situations that are better than what we have already was hard to get. So we were kind of stuck between a rock and a hard place, and it was really frustrating last time we pod that you guys didn't seem to understand that Samsonov sucked and Jones is 47 years old and Wall has one leg, and you were like, yeah, we're fine. No, we were not fine in our goaltending position. And I feel a million times better right now knowing, not, I wouldn't say with any confidence that Samsonov is going to be great and be our playoff goaltender, but just knowing that he still has this, that he has it in the tank, that he could do this, is, I think, massive for the Toronto Maple Leafs. I don't want to see Jones anywhere near the playoffs, I don't think. So I'm much more comfortable
having
Wall. That is
really shocking. I can't believe that you're this dismissive of Jones. And just a reminder for Ryan Allison and the rest of the people listening to the Leafs cast, he's 33. Tim, Google it. He's still 33, right? He hasn't aged or something?
He is now 34 as of January 10th.
That actually sounds a lot worse.
That's funny.
33. At me when I'm 34. He's 34, and I think, Ryan, you've got to throw out a little bit of the past here, because if you just dig far enough into Samsonov's past, it was enough to get him kicked out of a team that drafted him in the first round. I mean, like,
it was also good enough to win us a playoff series last year.
You've got to go with who the hot hand is, or who's, like, I don't know what about the playoffs makes you want Samsonov in there, not Jones.
Just to make it clear, I don't think either Jones or Samsonov are going to be our tickets here. I think we're going to live and die on Joseph Wall come when it counts. I think Samsonov is back, but it's standing on the thin edge of a knife. Like, if he sucks a month from now, it wouldn't shock me at all, which isn't great. But I'm pleased that, you know, we've seen it so many times from so many other teams in the playoffs. You just ride a hot goaltender all the way to the end. And if you have only one goaltender who has the capability of getting hot, then your odds are not as good as having two that could possibly just click it at the right time. Samsonov wasn't clicking early in the season. He's clicking now. Doesn't really matter what anyone does for the rest of the season, so long as you make it to the playoffs anyway, which I'm sure we'll talk about that in a while, us being a wild card team and all. But all that matters is once you're there, you punch your ticket, you're in the playoffs. Do you have a hot goaltender? Because that's apparently all you need to get there to the end.
What sounds more realistic for the reality that we're in right now, okay? Like, Ilya Samsonov is at minimum a capable NHL backup, or Ilya Samsonov is an AHL goalie?
He's NHL. He's showed over the past four games, which is the four games that matter most, that he's NHL goaltender.
Yeah.
We've made judgments based on smaller sample sizes.
So I feel like we should throw out this idea that, like, he is forever, like, at high risk of being what he was earlier in this season. Because it's been a long time, and it's been a long season. It's been a long, cold winter. And I think we should have a little bit more faith that he could figure out his game. I mean, he's got a whole nother week to figure it out, too. Like, I'm hopeful that he's not relaxing in Bora Bora and that he's working on his game.
No, he's in Mexico, actually, with his family.
That's you actually Sam's know that? Is.
I do. They're talking about it on the radio today.
Come on.
Ryan okay. Stockton's Ilya Samsonov. I think the other ship that, I mean, I say has sailed. It sailed earlier on in the season. But looking at who we might be facing on in the playoffs, we're going to have the second best goaltender, maybe even the third best goaltender in that series. So it's not like we're not, if we do want to go far in the playoffs, I don't think his goaltending is going to get us there. Short of like a miraculous, maybe an injury to one of the big guys. I don't know who we're facing in the playoffs is totally up in the air between. Are we a wild card spot? Are we finishing up there? I mean, it is looking like it's going to be the same four teams, but
I mean, again, saying we're in a wild card spot currently, it's a little bit misleading because we've played, I think, three fewer games than Tampa Bay and are 1 point back. So unless we skid our next three games, which, you know, could happen. We're probably in, like, if you go by points percentage, we're in the number three spot in the Atlantic Division now. Quite far behind Boston and Florida, which isn't great. You would have liked to see the Leafs challenging for first in the division, and instead we're clinging on and we're not going to have home ice advantage. It's like we've taken a clear step back here in terms of comparison to the other teams in our division.
Well, in the previous Leafs teams, right? Like, mm-hmm. I think we've been doing this pod a handful of years now, and how many times have we come on, like, towards the start of the year and, like, the preseason? It's like, is this team going to be better than years past, right? Like, is this team better than last year? This team's certainly not better than last year's team. Like, if last year's team and the year before that and the year before that were finishing second, third in the division, we should be a wild card spot. Like, that's where we're at least right now. A lot of games left to go, and you're right. Like, it's tight.
I go back and forth in terms of, is our position in the standings and how many points we have an accurate representation of how good our team is? Because part of me says right now our team is filled with William Nylander, who's having a career year, Austin Matthews, who's in the Hart Trophy conversation yet again. And if either of those guys either was injured or just not having the year that they're having, then we'd be like barely fighting for a playoff spot right now. We'd be even worse than we are. And even so, we have so many points from losing in overtime. Like, that's also bolstering our points up. But then the other half of me says John Tavares has like no even strength goals in his last 20 games. Bertuzzi hasn't been scoring. Domi hasn't been scoring. Our entire bottom six doesn't score. Kampf is having a down year. Our goaltending has been a disaster. Like, there's so many players who probably are better than they've been playing over at least the last 10 or 15 games or so. And if even a few of those players just start playing at where they're probably more realistically going to predict to be playing moving forwards, then our team's in a lot better shape. So I don't really know. Maybe it's just it all balances out.
One note on the standings. I think the number of overtime losses that we have isn't necessarily a concern. Like, we're at 8, which is high, but not exceptionally high. What makes it worse is the number of overtime wins we're getting. Like, our regulation wins is like a joke. Like, Ottawa has 15. We have 16.
Mm-hmm.
We just, so, I mean,
and Ottawa's the worst team in the division.
Here's what I was thinking about that, though. Like, because I get it. Obviously, you'd rather win the game in regulation, but if a game is close-ish, like 2-2, 3-3, whatever, or even like you're up by a goal, or scrap that. It's a tie game. Going into the third, like, you don't. It's the way that the point system is set up right now. It's not in your interest to go out and risk it all to win in regulation and possibly give up a bad rush and lose in regulation. Like, it's always in both teams' best interest to play it safe, get to overtime, and get a point.
I guess, though, like, when I think of, like, the teams that have won, like, a lot of close games and had a lot of success, it's like those really gritty defensive teams that are mean, that, like, score three and get two against them, right? The Leafs are a soft, poor defensive team that scores three and gets two against them some of the time. And all of that's on the back of Austin Matthews, who has just shy of 25% of the Maple Leafs' goals this season. That's an MVP, by the way. I mean, you talk about a most valuable player. Like, that's the definition of that this year. And it's A, because Austin Matthews has been great, and B, how bad the rest of the team is around him.
Mm-hmm.
I know. It's like very much like reminds me of those Edmonton years before. I don't know, for how many years was McDavid like the only thing worth talking about over in Edmonton? Now it's like, now they have a few other guys like Corey Perry.
No. All right.
Zach
Hyman.
The state of the Leafs is frustrating, though, and it goes back, honestly, that Edmonton game. I remember being a little bit bummed or just like depressed on the Leafs after that one, because like I almost like lost a little bit of my expectations of the Leafs, just because that was like a really big game, and then they come out and they take the L, and you're like, you know, and we're in, I think we were in January at that point, and it's just like, oh, okay, well, I guess this is what the Leafs are this year. They're not going to be a team that's better than Edmonton, right? Like, so I guess we're not going to win the cup. But then I look at, like, what you're talking about earlier in the pod, right? Like, Austin Matthews is having an MVP season. You have one of the best players in the NHL on your team this year, and are we really just going to piss away the rest of this season because Treliving made a lot of mistakes and a bunch of guys are looking at taking the year off and signed one-year deals and thinking about next year? Like, what are we even doing? What are we doing this year? We should be tops of the division. Like, the Boston Bruins roster, their center depth, it should not. We should be better than that team.
What's discouraging is you'd think that after, you know, all these years, clearly it's a different sport in playoffs than it is in regular season. And teams that are built a certain way might not have the most success in the regular season, but they do tend to win in the playoffs more. And you'd hope that the Leafs, after all this regular season emphatic success, you know, the crazy win totals and point totals they've been able to accumulate over the past 6 or 7 years, that, and following that, immediate playoff exits commonly in game seven, that they would pivot and move in a direction where you could say, you know what, we're not going for the President's Trophy. We don't care about winning the division. All we care about is, are we set and built to win in the playoffs? And like, you look at this team and how they're built right now, and it just seems like we are less so than ever before prepared to win in the playoffs. Like, the amount of blown leads that we have is atrocious. Our defense in general is non-existent. We're small, we're slow. Like, it's, I don't know, it seems like we're gonna win the game if Austin Matthews or Mitch Marner or something scores two goals, and we're gonna lose the game under any other situation. Like, that seems to be where the Leafs are at right now.
I mean, when Morgan Rielly is your best defensive defenseman, this is a concern.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, well, you talk about the playoff matchups, right? I mean, the Leafs, like, at least lately, every time that they're playing against a good team, they're going to take the loss. And then when it's the bad team, that's the one I feel like that we go to overtime and end up winning against, or like a somewhat comparable team. But then, like, you bring up like whatever playoff matchup we're in, because I think we'll still make the playoffs if the roster stayed exactly the same. Like, we're going to have the worst goalie. We'll probably also have the worst third line, and we'll probably also have the worst fourth line, and we'll have the worst third defense pairing, but we will have the best center. We'll have the best center, top line center, and
until we get to the Stanley Cup final.
Yeah. So I hate to come on the pod and be negative and act like I don't have any faith in this team. But if I'm being completely honest, I don't have any faith in this team that they're gonna go, if it stays as constructed with Sheldon Keefe as the coach, and if everything stays the same, to make noise.
Would you get rid of Keefe? I know, like, I think it was more during the losing streak that it was kind of a talking point of, like, Keefe's seat's getting hotter and hotter as they lose, what, 4 or 5 in a row to beatable teams. Are you disappointed that they righted the ship and he's still hanging on, or?
I'm to the point that it needs to be Keefe and Treliving. I have no interest in a different coach in the building if Brad Treliving is still calling the shots. Like, what he's put together outside of Simon Benoit is laughable. This is laughable. And where I think earlier in the season, and maybe it was even the offseason, right, I was like, you fire Keefe, you know, 6 games in the season, you fire Keefe, bring in somebody else, lots of other good teams do it. And they do, right? But those other teams' cupboards are a lot more stocked than the Maple Leafs, because the third line is, even though we say it's the worst matchup, like, it's performing kind of like how you thought some of those guys could. Like, you've got to have somebody different shopping for the groceries. I think that, like, if Shanahan has any faith in what he's doing here, I don't know. Am I alone in this?
No, you just go back to when he was hired, and, like, do you remember when they fired Dubasir? Like, okay, who are the Leafs going to get? And the best options were either, our own guy, Pridham. It's just like, move Pridham into the role, because he already knows the system, he knows the team. He's, like, similar to a role where Dubas was before he got the job. Like, he's next in line. Or literally the only GM out there who has a fraction of experience, who just, like, was horrible at Calgary, let's get Brad Treliving. It's just, like, it was the only option. It just, like, it goes back
Peter
to saying
Trelli was available, Ryan.
What was Shanahan thinking in the way that he handled the Dubas situation? Like, it was just Bush League, and Tim, you said it when it first happened, but it's just, like, his pride got in the way and made a bad call. And it's not like Brad Treliving is the horrible GM. Oh, maybe he is, but, like, it's not like we just picked up some guy out of the gutter. Like, he did have experience. He came from a team where he obviously brought in some good players and made some big moves and whatever. Sure. But he came here and just, I mean, maybe it's too soon. Maybe it was too much to ask of him to come into hot seat Toronto, where they had to sign a bunch of free agents and ink Matthews and Nylander to contracts. But he sucked at all of it so far. So.
Yeah, what more do you, if you're Shanahan, what more do you need to see to decide? Do you need to see a playoff exit? Because
no, there is no chance Treliving is fired in the next 3 years. Okay. Like, Leafs can miss the playoffs this year, and he would be safe.
That seems insane, though, because we just said it. Like, you have the MVP of the team.
Yeah, you said that pretty confidently, Tim. You think if the Leafs missed the playoffs this year, that Treliving would be on the hot seat?
No, you don't fire GMs in year one.
Missed the playoffs, Tim. What's, you don't think
why
he'd be
not?
On the hot seat?
Is it the money?
I mean, unless Shanahan is then fired as
yes,
well as the rest.
Yes, absolutely. That's what I'm saying. Like, if the Leafs are not a team that could be affording to miss the playoffs anytime soon, like, they need to not only be making the playoffs every year for the next 5 years that Austin Matthews is with them, they need to be doing something in the playoffs. Like, that's a minimum. Making the playoffs is a bottom bar minimum. If we start going down the road of, like, well, this year just wasn't our year and we missed the playoffs, Shanahan's gone, and then after that, I think anything could happen.
He's 26. I keep going back to Austin Matthews. He's 26. And, like, when we used to talk about, like, when he was scoring 40 goals and he was 22 or whatever, right? And it's like, and he's just going to keep getting better. Well, at some point, that might stop happening, right? Like, this might be the best.
I'm turning 30 this year. My back's starting to hurt in the mornings. I'll like wake up and I'll have this pain in my lower back, and it's a little tired, Tim. I don't have the same motivation. Like, you guys are old.
No, that's
like...
that's depression, Ryan. Oh, okay. That's depression.
I'm a Leafs fan. What can I say?
Stop sleeping on the floor.
All I know is that this is make it or break it time. We can't even start going down that road. We like, well, okay, let's pivot at this point, Tim, because maybe you disagree. But what do you think our move is at the deadline, which is coming up a lot faster than I remember?
Like a month away.
It's like a month away. We're gonna have to make a call as to what we do for this team. I don't think any of us would say we should be sellers, because that's maybe Tim thinks so, but I think that's ridiculous. But
no.
Can you say that this is the team that you feel confident enough in to say, let's trade our first round pick, let's trade Fraser Minton, let's trade some big pieces and bring in major reinforcements and go for it this year? Or is this like, you know what, this isn't the Leafs year, we're going to do some stuff around the edges, like when we brought in Gio, we'll trade around like a couple seconds, maybe like a depth prospect, and just bring in some fringe pieces, and we'll see if the goalies and players get hot.
For one, we have no second round picks left.
Wait, ever?
I mean, unless you go to 2027.
We traded our right to the second round for the rest of the Toronto Maple Leafs tenure.
So
to,
some eighth grader is rolling around. He'll be drafted by the Maple Leafs in a couple years. That's what you're
saying?
That's
right. That's right.
Yeah, but to answer your question, looking at our team and how the other teams in the division are performing, I don't think we're trading a first-round pick away from home ice advantage. Like, I think what I would like to see, I know we kind of been through the Brad Treliving, but what I would like to see is him try and fix some of these guys that are not working out. Like Kyle Dubas, I remember when he traded away Nick Ritchie. I mean, and got Labushkin. He's like, oh, got rid of someone that wasn't working, brought in someone else. So it's like, yes, I'm sure it's to some extent you're selling low on these guys, but these are real NHL players you're playing with. Get something else that might work. Like, these guys, in my opinion, aren't working. Like, both their play styles and like the points. Like, maybe it's Keith's system. He doesn't know how to deploy them. But it's, you can't argue that these guys have been performing at their expectations. So, like, I would like to see Treliving move some names around. Like, you have more than just, oh, instantly trade your draft pick for a rental. I don't know what your fifth round picks bring in these days, but I don't know. Like, I think like the forwards, maybe to try to swap in and bring in someone like different talent allocation. Maybe they have chemistry that meshes. It's just, we've had flashes of like third and fourth lines that like they have good games. Revo is now back, and clearly that's what was missing. You look at our record with him, it's way better. But,
it is, yeah, it is.
I don't know. I would be disappointed if we just traded away another first, maybe a first and third round pick to bring in some guy who's like barely going to move the needle, because I don't know.
What do you think, Steven?
Maybe it's just we've been mediocre for too long. And like, but then I think of Edmonton. Edmonton was ready to be sellers in November. There was all talking about like, oh, like,
yeah,
teams, like, what are the odds of a team making it when they're out of it at Thanksgiving? They have to go do this run and they fire their coach. Like, I don't even know who their coach is now. Some nobody. That's not true. But they win 16 games in a row. And now it's like, oh, yeah, looks like they're normal. Like, I tell you, they win 16 games in a row, not because of the coach. And so it's like, oh, they're fine. Like, at least wins next 16 games in a row, we're going to look like fools.
Yeah, you wonder, going back to the coach thing, like, it's almost so late in the year if they were actually to make that move. Because, like, if I could have one, sure, I'd love a different coach in the building. That almost feels like a trade deadline acquisition, just like a complete and absolute wild card. You have no idea what you might get from that one.
Well, you look at the Islanders, they just, Lou still... What is he, 85? Joe Biden's age, he's still running an NHL team.
He is not 85.
No, I think he's like 82.
I was still, though, there's an 8 in there? You're joking. That's not true. How is that allowed?
Hey, he's still running a team.
Yeah, but you're like four times older than the guys that you're drafting. Like, that's insane.
Steven, what are you thinking for trade deadline? Where would you go?
Well, yeah. So, like what Dubas did last year, I mean, or actually that was 2 years ago, I think, with Nick Ritchie, who, by the way, just switched teams again in, like, the like, Swiss League or something like that. I just saw that yesterday. Dubas moved Sandin last year. Now, that, for a first-round pick, that was, like, a little bit of a sell, you know, but, like, get the guy out of the building. And he moved Engvall as well. Like, swapped some things around. I don't know if Treliving's got that in him. You don't see that very often. But, like, there's guys in this team that should happen to. Like, if you have the opportunity to move Tyler Bertuzzi for anybody that can service an aspect of the line, like... Like, if you can ship off Tyler Bertuzzi, who is meant to be a first-line second-liner, for somebody who's a guaranteed third-liner, you do it. And then you just try to fill that spot that he was in. I think the same thing with Max Domi, if you can. And you think about, like, I know, Tim, you're talking about, like, you wouldn't want to trade your first and third. But, like, remember when we had Ryan O'Reilly, and it was the best, like, 4 days in Maple Leafs history of the last 2 years? When he was just, like, killing it on the second-line center. I mean, if there ever were a year that, like, there's an argument for John Tavares to be moved down the lineup, it's a little bit this year. And I could see a world where you trade for a guy who can come in and play your second-line center, and somehow John Tavares makes that third-line group alongside Callie Yarncroke and Nicky Robb, and you've got insert... hot shot second line center alongside William Nylander and Tyler Bertuzzi or Pontus Holmberg or whoever. Like, I would rather that than nothing, because even though, like, we're very down on this team right now, we're not out of it, and you still have Austin Matthews. And I know we're just talking about the forwards Leafs talk classic here. That's where I'm at.
Well, I'll shake it up from Leafs Talks forward, because I think that we're all on similar page in terms of, like, something needs to happen here, but I don't think any of us are too prepared to just go trading the entire future away. Because, like, even look at Easton Cowan, who was just drafted in this most recent draft. Like, he's exciting. We're like, okay, this guy could be a part of our future over the next, you know, maybe 2 or 3 years from now. Like, he could be in a meaningful piece. You look at Nyes and Robertson right now and what they are, and you think, like, you need constant talent coming through your pipeline to play cheap for us in the lineup, so you don't necessarily want to be shipping those guys away. But you need something. Like, this team is very short from complete right now, at least for deep playoff run sake. But, like, I agree with you, Steven, that if there's any season where you said, like, man, we need someone to bump either Tavares over or even just bump him down to third line center, and, like, you can still find him minutes as third line center, but just, like, he looks so slow out there, and obviously this is a slump for him, right? Like, he's probably not going to go 10 games without a point again for the rest of the season. Like, this is the worst he's ever had in his entire career, and he's been Mr. Consistency, so it probably won't be this bad, but it's still just been such a down season for him. But I still would say I have more faith that Tavares will figure this out, or that our forwards will figure this out, that Bertuzzi will learn how to score a goal again, or Domi will get some offense going or something, than I do in our defense. Like, I think our defense is so blatantly, obviously sucking. It's top to bottom outside of Morgan Riley. Well, that's a lie.
And Simo Benoit.
But McCabe has been... like, fine. Lilligren's been fine. Benoit's been fine. Like, but as a whole, it's just, like, it's not working. Giordano is done. Like, it just, you need someone at the top, like a number two, to bump everyone else down. And then it will all feel, like, Brody as a number three, you're a lot more comfortable with than Brody having to take on top minute competition. And even, like, Riley, I think he plays, like, 26 minutes a night. Like, he's going to have nothing left come playoffs. Let's find someone to lighten his load and take some of the defensive responsibility away. Like, to me, I would add two defensemen before even looking at forwards.
Our pod doesn't appreciate Morgan Rielly enough. That guy's been having an unbelievable season.
I think
last year when he signed, or whenever it was, 2 years ago, he signed his big extension. We were like a little worried, like 7.5. What a bargain that's looking like so far.
Yeah. It's like, imagine our team without him.
Without him, it's like, it'd be horrible. Like TJ Brody, like, I think that's partly him just getting old. I don't even know if he's in a number three, but like, how much is that just Morgan Rielly carrying TJ Brody?
Yeah.
It's and I mean, it's, I also take it with a grain of salt, like all these guys, like Lidegren makes 1.4, Timmins 1.1, McCabe, I guess, the salary retained, but it's like 2 million. So like, what are our expectations for these guys that, like, obviously we've allocated no money down there.
Yes.
We're kind of getting what we paid for.
Well, that's exactly it. Like Benoit, Steven, you love the guy, but like a playoff ready Stanley Cup aspiration team should not be playing Benoit 22 minutes a night.
Like, I just like him because he hits guys. He's got a mustache.
We have a mean him and McCabe. They hit people, and Gio blocks a million shots a night. We have a tough decor.
Stuck in his own end.
Well, but I know like the Leafs could be in a position to have the ability to bring in some money at the deadline that they weren't expecting. Especially if you're able to move on from Bertuzzi, who again's making 5.5 and has like one goal in his last 16 games.
So Bertuzzi has a full no move it built into his deal.
Oh, thank you, Brad Treliving. Are you serious?
It's full no move. So the only way Bertuzzi's going anywhere is if he wants to go somewhere, which maybe he does. Like, maybe
does he want to go to Bora Bora?
Like, he signed a 1 year deal thinking that he's going to go play in Toronto. Everyone who goes and plays in Toronto makes at least $90 million. Just ask William Nylander.
Yeah.
So he's going to play 1 year, then he's going to sign this big contract, whether it's with Toronto or with literally anywhere else. Like, that was the plan. And he's been horrible. What's his contract going to look like next year? Probably 1 year again. Like a 1 year, $2 million. He's going down the John Klingberg road is what he's doing right now.
But the no move could be a little bit on his part then, right? Because like, he's probably thinking he's trying to secure his bag for next year, and Tree Man could come to him and say, "Well, we'll send you somewhere where you can have another shot at this."
Like, if he's being traded to a contender, which is like any team that would actually want him, unless if it's a salary dump, but like, I think he would accept that.
You think he'd rather go to a contender where he's going to be like a third line player rather than go to loser team where he's going to play top line and he's going to play all the power play minutes? Like, he's on the second unit power play, which plays 20 seconds.
You sell him on the same crap that we were sold on with him, right? He's going to bring a bunch of piss and vinegar and play awesome, and somebody will pick him up. I think
the guy
I'm
falls
with Tim. I think
down. Well, of course someone would pick him up. Like, for the same reason we picked him up, there's other teams that would take a stab at him. It's just whether or not he wants to go. Because if he's like, no, I want to stay in Toronto and finish it out, and I'm on a good team, and, well, good team, and we could go deep, and maybe I'll figure it out and turn this around, and then it's just like, well, too bad, Brad. You signed the guy to a full no move. What are you going to do?
I can't believe he signed him to a full no move. Who gets a no move on a 1 year deal? Where is the negotiation? I'm convinced he slides a blank piece of paper across the table that says, write any demands you want. I wouldn't be surprised if Brad's doing his laundry. Are you kidding me? No move?
I want it in my contract.
How'd
Max
you get a no move? Oh my gosh.
End team, no trade list.
You know who I think about a lot, guys? I think about Zach Hyman.
Ugh. It's the worst. Whenever I look at the NHL stats for the year, and I see how good Zach Hyman is doing this year, it pains me. We love Zach Hyman. He's making 5.5.
Five and a half. The same. The same as old no move Bertuzzi, Todd's son. Come on.
Nephew, I think.
Yeah, no, I know it's his nephew, but.
Anyways.
Come on, dude. Okay, so Rye has aspirations of bringing in two defensemen. I mean, if you're doing that, unless they're if they're good enough to be upgrades on who we have, I mean, you are trading Fraser Minton, and you're trading Easton Cowan or something else. Because
still trading Matthew Nice? We were talking a little bit earlier this week.
You can't trade Matthew Nyes now, no.
His stats are a little under, like, they're not that impressive for his ice time he's getting. But
he'll only get better, though. Like, he's not peaked into what he can be. Like, all our young guys.
If True Living really does have the ability to pull, you know, call the shots here, and, like, you can see a world where he values some of these draft picks that Dubas made a little less than the ones that he made. Not saying he'd move on from Matthew Nyes, but, like, a Fraser Minton or some of these other guys who, again, like, are not high-end desired prospects. Like, I just don't know that we really have the firepower to make some of these deals. Like,
you're not wrong. We definitely have less to offer than most other teams.
Well, like, and we knew that last year. We said, like, oh man, we're going for it. We're bringing in all these different pieces. Kept none of them.
When you look at what's his name? Prominent on The Athletic. He's got his top 50 prospects outside the NHL, you know? Like, Minton and Cowan aren't even very high up on that list at all, right? Like, we're just like, even our best prospects are not that great of prospects in relation to everybody else. Maybe they'll end up being great NHLers, but I'm just talking about, like, what their value is. Like, and then you don't even know, because, like, Fraser Minton almost made – he was on the Leafs for, like, 10 games or whatever this year or something like that. So, just depends on who the name is. I don't know. It's a little early to, like, make the decision of, like, would you trade this guy? I mean, Ryan, you said you'd trade Matthew Nyes for Ryan O'Reilly, I think, at one point.
Yeah, last year that was my trade proposal. Listen, they got Ryan O'Reilly, so I think I nailed it there. And he just didn't do Nyes, traded a first instead. Like, what are you gonna do?
Would you trade
Topi Niemelä ahead of those guys as far as value?
I don't hear anything ever about Topi Niemelä. That guy is Topi Nutella. That's what I called him. He's just done. He's not even a prospect anymore. He's just canceled.
Okay.
He's 21.
He's going to be okay. Yeah, it's just like some of these guys they don't have the same pop that some of the other teams' top prospects do. And then because we don't ever pick the first round. And Tim, would you trade Zach Hyman or would you trade Matthew Nyes for Zach Hyman straight up now?
Right now? No, I wouldn't.
Tim.
Trade Nyes for Hyman? Tim. Hyman, I was looking it up just when you brought up the stats. He has 30 goals this year.
I know, 30 he's goals. So good.
He's in the top 10 of goals scored this year. You wouldn't even blink if they offered to trade Nyes for Hyman right now. That's ridiculous.
Tim, how many days would you go without food to get Zach Hyman back on the team for free?
I go at least 2 days. At least 2, maybe 3 days.
No way. Eating's overrated. Give me a whole week of Zach Hyman with no food.
Hot take of the year, eating is overrated.
Man. Oh, man.
One of the basic functions of human life. Tim says overrated. Get Zach Hyman
overrated.
On the team.
Overrated.
Tim, you're
not overrated, Zach Hyman.
That said, I'll start with Tim. I'm in. 1 week.
92. He's 31. Even with his back pain he wakes up with from his anyways.
Okay, Ryan, I'm going to change the offer up for you. How many days in a row would you go of just white bread? Plain, untoasted white bread.
Can I butter it?
No, nothing on it. Just dry white bread.
I don't think I'd go that long. That doesn't sound very nice at all.
You get Zach Hyman for free.
That's basically what I eat anyways. That's not true. I'm married now. Yeah, someone is here to feed me. All right. What else on our topic list?
I have a long list, but it's again just mostly bread related Zach Hyman questions. I think
how
I'm
many more
out.
Games does Ryan Reeves get this year? Is he playing like every game?
That was the best game that we've seen of him so far. This most recent game against Winnipeg and the fourth line in general. I brought him six as a whole. Looked very good that game. It did make me wonder if Ryan Reeves and probably Giordano, like these older guys on our team, just play him, play him for a week here and a week there, let him sit a bunch of games. They only play like 60% of the rest of the games down the stretch, and then they'll be fine, which is even more ridiculous that we sign Ryan Reeves for a 3-year contract, but that's okay. Good negotiating, Brad.
No move.
Also full no move.
It's gotta be. It's gotta be full no move. And he's doing his laundry. Yeah. And Tree Living's only eaten white bread for 3 years. I don't know what you have
against white bread, but
what I did. Well, it's anyway. I liked that Keefe didn't put him back in immediately, and I kind of like that he's maybe making some of these guys earn it more than they used to. Like you don't deserve a spot on the Maple Leafs just because you were signed to be one, I guess. And even though I've somewhat disagreed with how much he's kept like Nicky Robb out of the lineup for nights on end, like to a degree it's working because he comes back in and he seems to score. And Ryan Reeves had everything going for him because you're going up against a mean team, or a team that wants to be mean against the Maple Leafs. He was in his hometown, and he scored a nice goal. So I actually would like them to keep him in and just see how long the hot hand's going and then pull him out. But then when you get another night where it looks like there's going to be some bruising going on, you bring him back in. Because, like, it's fun. It is fun having Ryan Reeves on the team because, like, you see him chirping at Ehlers, and you're just like, maybe he'll kill somebody tonight. Like, you get a little bit pumped for that. So makes me more excited to watch the games. And, yeah, I don't know. I mean, like, I've been just as critical as you guys lately of Ryan Reeves. That was fun having him on the team the other night.
Ryan Reeves.
I still hate him.
And that goal was ridiculous, too. Like, I'm not even convinced that, like, he could ever do that again, ever. Like, that shot was like a Cody shot wide, 6 feet from the post, and he redirected it in. Like,
it's the kind of goal that if you saw Austin Matthews score that, you'd be like, that is the most talented goal scorer. How did he do that? But because it's Ryan Reeves, you're like, luck. It's got to be luck.
What's that? A deaf bird is right twice a day? Wait, why is he wrong all day?
That's the quote. You nailed it, Steven.
Is he blind or deaf? Or is he both?
You're just licking over the steering wheel with that one. Good job.
That is a saying. If anybody, I'm going to make that the poll this week on the podcast. How long have you been listening to the podcast? Do you know that reference?
All right. Are we done?
You know, I get a lot of offers for podcasts to do on Tuesday nights. Or is it a Monday? Anyway, and I came here tonight, and you guys are giving me
a hard time. I would say one thing that we didn't touch on, Callie Yarncrack, spot of bad luck. Is it broken knuckle or something?
Yeah, broken knuckle. Probably 3 to 4 weeks.
I don't know how
weeks.
That happens, but anyway, oh, 3 weeks.
He blocked a shot in practice.
Oh,
yeah, he wears a glove, but like your knuckle is literally the most protected place on the glove. What's going on?
Yeah, there's joints in the.
Could have been a Ryan Reeves just clap bomb. I mean, I don't know. If there's any protective coating you could have to keep you from that guy. He's a wagon.
He's been fighting people. Anyways, it'll be interesting to see what happens to our bottom six. Is like. Our bottom six has got weaker. I mean, Cal Yarncrack hasn't been like an all-star this year, but he's certainly, I don't think he's, we've thrown a lot of criticism at third line. He's escaped most of it.
He's been fine. I have no problems with Yarncrack. He's been scoring decently, plays well defensively. Like, I think outside of the top four, he's probably been the number five in terms of the most impactful forwards, arguably better than JT.
No.
Who do you think's been better? Obviously, Matthews, Marner, and Nylander are 1, 2, and 3. I mean, not that.
Nicky Robb.
Like, they're the three best. Probably Tavares is 4, and then I'd give it to Yarncrook.
We really, like, the list, we really don't have that many forwards that are good at all.
No.
Yarncrook is 5th on our team in goals.
Yeah.
Like, it's a rough year.
He's night and day way better defensively than Domi or Robertson.
The core four are the only, and Yarncrook has 10.
Nice has been really
hit and miss. The only with double digit goals.
Yeah.
If you're arguing that Cal Yarncrook's been better than John Tavares this year, then he is now officially in the core four. And when Ryan refers to the core four, he'll be referring to Cal Yarncrook in there.
I'm fine with that. I like Yarncrook.
Tim, who's your core four? Go.
Yarncrook is not in my core four. I think it's Matthews, Nylander, Marner, and then Morgan Rielly is a forward. Definitely Rielly's in there.
Good enough.
Well, yeah, Rielly's been way better than... Rielly's been like number two on the team. He's comparable with Nylander only.
Mine is Simone Benoit,
Oh my goodness!
Don't say Miles Teller in Top Gun Maverick.
Say Colin Blackwell.
Grandma, and Austin Matthews.
All right.
His fortieth goal season. I don't know.
Guys, Austin Matthews 40 goals in 46 games. Can he score 10 goals in the next four games?
I don't think so.
He has a week off. Oh, not quite. He has to do this All-Star game festivities.
He'll score a few goals at the All-Star game for sure.
Yeah, if you include his All-Star game goals, maybe he gets there.
Okay, well, if he does, right, let's say he gets to 46 goals in 50 games or whatever, but he had four at the All-Star game, will the Leafs cast count it as 50 and 50?
Yes.
No.
I like that you guys said it at the same time. I think this podcast is done. I don't want to talk to you guys anymore.
Yeah, we're over.
We'll reconvene after the All-Star break. We'll see if there's anything worth talking about. I tell you, if any of our Leafs get injured at this All-Star break doing dumb things like playing the All-Star game,
playing hockey.
Like, yeah. I thought you were going to say like fire juggling or something.
We have the Islanders coming up again. We better beat them this time.
Hey, one question before we go. Does Topi Nimala ever play a game for the Maple Leafs? Yes or no?
Nutella! Nutella!
Wait, Tim, you said yes?
Don't sleep on Topi.
All right. I'll say no with Ryan. Why not?
I bet you a week. You guys will have to eat white bread for a week when you play for the Leafs.
You are white bread. Forget this.